This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me on the phone from his office in Fort Smith is Michael Tilley. He is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com. And Michael, so far so good. The world has not ended. We're still here.
Well, the world's not ended yet. Unless you're Dustin McDaniel and it may be close.
Well, we'll have plenty to talk about that, I'm sure, in 2013 as
right.
The gubernatorial race forms or doesn't form. Also in the future are questions about the 188th at Fort Chaffee. Do we have any answers?
No, I mean, well, yes, we have answers. And the answer is we probably, all these answers, I guess, should be qualified with probably. We will not have the A-10 mission at some point, probably around 2015. That's the mission they're wanting to keep. And I say probably, Kyle, I'm not trying to be silly, but you remember during the BRAC hearing in 2005, we thought we were losing the whole mission. F-16s were gone, we're losing the mission. Out of the blue come these A-10 planes, and we get a new mission, and all is good. So, and that was a last minute, that was a Hail Mary touchdown, you know. So who knows if something like that will happen, but it looks like the 188th will receive a drone mission. Now, that's where the unknown is. What's that mean? How many people does that employ? You know, do we have, is it to work on the planes? Is it just to train folks? Who knows what that is? And what drone is it? You know, there are some drones that are more more widely used than others. So it's still up in the air. I think what we do know is that we've lost this, the community has lost this initial fight to keep the A-10s at the 188th.
And that provides a certain amount of unease.
Well, when you have roughly 1,000 people between guards, full-time and guards, guardsmen and reservists, I'll get this correct in a minute, training out there, that's a lot of jobs. It's a huge economic impact. And so, yes, for a community that's lost a lot of manufacturing jobs, lost Whirlpool, couldn't get Mitsubishi to, you know, operate out of the plant that it built. Yeah, it's just kind of another kick in the shins.
Any idea on a timeline when the drone program will give us an idea of how many people will be there and what staffing and how many people involved?
I have asked for timelines. I've asked for, you know, more detail on that mission, and I have yet to receive it. I think somewhere around mid, hopefully sooner, but no later than mid to early to mid-2014, we should know something more definitive. And hopefully it will be much sooner if Congress can ever get a full-blown budget put together. Hopefully we'll know what we're going to get.
This week on thecitywire.com, also a story about natural gas tax collections in Arkansas, down by about a third.
Yes, down a little over 33%. This is not a surprise to anyone that's even been somewhat watching the industry. Natural gas prices have been low in the U.S. because there's such a huge supply. A lot of producers are also moving to, energy producers are moving to oil and other energy-type liquids because the prices are better there. The people we talk to, though, say that the prices will return, natural gas prices will return, and that'll be a function of several things. There's momentum in the industry to get more CNG vehicles, compressed natural gas vehicles out there, and LNG, liquefied natural gas vehicles. That'll increase some demand. And with the election of President Obama, you know, President Obama made it clear that he was going to make it difficult for energy companies to open and or operate coal energy production plants. So a lot of those plants will be natural gas, may convert to natural gas, so that'll increase demand. But, yes, in Arkansas, last year, it looks like it peaked at $58.9 million in natural gas severance tax collections, and a lot of that money is used to improve infrastructure in those areas where the energy is produced. And for the first 10 months of 2012, we're 33.3% off of that mark. So it looks like 2011 may be the high point for gas production in Arkansas.
Tourism in Arkansas was strong in 2012. Tourism officials think it's going to be even stronger than in 2013.
Yeah, if you're in Arkansas and you're looking for a bright spot, and I think I've may sound like a broken record because I've said this for a while. The tourism industry is a bright spot in Arkansas. Collections are up over 3%. The number of jobs are up, and you know we continue to see things that will drive more tourism, more visitors in 2013. You know, we talked to Joe David Ross. He's the director of tourism for the Arkansas Department of Parks and Tourism. You know, he talks about the renovated lodge at Petajine State Park, the new state park over on the Mississippi River, new features there in Hot Springs with Garvin Gardens. You know, the continued growth of Crystal Bridges, and you know, and he even mentioned if we get the Marshalls Museum stacked on top of that at some point, probably not 2013, but Arkansas's tourism industry will be even a bigger driver of economic growth in the state. So it bears watching. We've been watching it at the CityWire for 4 years, ever since we began, because we think it's just an important part of the economy. It's a clean economy. Kyle, you know, the saying is that visitors come in and they take pictures and leave dollars, and that's what you want.
At the beginning of our conversation, we did briefly mention Dustin McDaniel, the revelations of what's been called an inappropriate relationship in Hot Springs. Does this, as we move into 2013, possibly alter who might or might not get into the gubernatorial primaries?
I think the altering's already begun. This is not his first rodeo, unfortunately, in this arena, and I think that a lot of Democrats, a lot of party leaders are looking for a plan B, and they'd be stupid not to look for a plan B. This revelation came out of a nasty divorce and child custody case that's ongoing in Hot Springs between an attorney and a doctor there, and my sources say it's only going to get nastier, and the revelations may, you know, become even more lurid. So I think that Attorney General Dustin McDaniels, I wouldn't bet on him sailing to a clean, easy victory in the Democratic primary.
Okay, a couple of quick questions that have to do with today's Ozarks at Large. In a moment, we're going to have a story about Gibson Baskets. It's been a family business for more than 130 years in Northwest Arkansas. Can you think of any family-owned businesses in the Fort Smith and Arkansas River area, valley, that have been together that long?
Wow. Well, no, I mean, First National Bank comes on. It begins kind of as a family company. It's not really family now, but that's just for a small family company. No, I'm sure as soon as I get off the phone with you, five will pop into my head. But that's a long time. That's an impressive track record.
And later on the show, Earl Cate of Earl and Them, and of course the Cate brothers will be on the show. Do you remember the first time you saw the Cates?
Yes, I think I was what is the name? It's downtown Fort Smith. And I probably, don't tell anybody, Kyle, but I probably had a beer in my hand, too, at the time.
Okay.
Old Town Grain and Feed.
Ah.
That's what it was.
All right.
I think that's the first time I saw him. And I'm not going to say how many years ago that was.
No. Yes. Well, we will not talk next week. We'll be taking the holiday break. I will talk to you in 2013. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
And same to you, Kyle. It's you're a great host on this show, and I appreciate doing it, helping you out with it.
TheCityWire.com will continue to have news through the holidays, and we'll talk to Michael again in 2013.
This is Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz, every Friday night from 10 till midnight. On this week's program, we'll hear music from Peter Erskine, Ray Anderson, Ray Charles, and Betty Carter. We'll also hear from Larry Coryell and Freddie Hubbard, this and much more. That's Friday night on Shades of Jazz, beginning at 10 p.m.